Or shall we pray before we do anything else? Father, thank you so much for our time together now, looking at Luke's gospel. Please, would you help us to be in awe of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would we be amazed by who he is, by what he came to do, by the future he offers us? Father, please, would you reassure us and encourage us this evening? Amen. Well, we all know that life doesn't always go the way we planned it. And we've all become aware of the need to handle disappointment well. Nothing has been normal in 2020. And as the prospect of an unusual Christmas looms, we're going to have to continue to deal with disappointment and disruption for just a little longer. And in the face of such disappointments, in the light of things not going according to plan, it's normal to start longing for a better day. Right now, we'll be longing for that better day when we can just be in the office with our colleagues and get on with work. We'll be longing to see one another face to face at church after so many months of YouTube and Zoom coffee and socially distanced services. We'll be thinking and hoping that summer 2021 will see us off on holiday without fear of cancellation or quarantine. We are all looking ahead to a brighter, better day. Well, as we continue with this chapter of Luke's Gospel, which we've been referring to as the School of Discipleship, I suspect that Jesus' disciples have been finding things hard, things not turning out quite as they expected. They've been told to prepare for rejection as Jesus sends them out. John the Baptist has been beheaded. And they've just confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised king who would rescue his people, and then been told by Jesus that he is going to suffer and die. They've had to reckon with the truth that following Jesus means being willing to lose their lives now for life in the future, to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. You can well imagine that they might need some reassurance and encouragement. Reassurance that Jesus really is better. Reassurance that losing your life now really is better. Encouragement to keep on following even when denying yourself is costly and bearing your cross is painful. Quite possibly, you need reassurance and encouragement this evening. Maybe you need reminding that following Jesus is better. And so we come to the Transfiguration, a beacon of reassurance against the darkness of difficult discipleship. And the first thing we see is that Jesus provides a better rescue. Jesus has gone up this mountain with three disciples, Peter, John, and James, in order to pray. And as he's praying, he is transformed and he's joined by some unexpected guests. Look down at verses 29 and 30 with me. As he was praying, that's Jesus, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. So there Jesus is, shining like lightning, and talking to these two giants of Israel's past, who are glorious in their splendor. And look at what they are talking about. Verse 31. they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now that is a weird way to describe what Jesus is going to Jerusalem to do. We might expect them to be discussing his sacrifice, or his rescue, or the cross, or his time which is at hand. Yet the word departure here isn't just a quirk of Luke's writing, but a very deliberately chosen word. The word in Greek is the word for Exodus. Jesus is talking to Moses, not about the Exodus, but about his Exodus. See, the Exodus was the defining rescue of Israel's past. God hears the cries of his people enslaved in Egypt and rescues them from captivity with his outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. The plagues, the Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the provision in the wilderness, the giving of the law, the building of the tabernacle. It is a momentous event in Israel's history, a defining event. And they were meant to teach their children about it, according to Deuteronomy 6. And they sung praises to God as they remembered it. Just look at Psalm 136 for an example. And as they remembered what God had done in the events of the Exodus, their cry was, "His love endures forever." The Exodus is pivotal. So when Jesus is talking to Moses about his Exodus, you can begin to imagine the significance of what's about to happen. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life, as we heard last week. But he is doing so in order to rescue us from our slavery to sin and death. We are all by nature sinners. And the wages of sin, the result of sin, is death and separation from the goodness of God. We are, by nature, slaves to sin, captured by our tendency to disregard, ignore, and offend God. We don't always notice it because sometimes it can be a comfortable captivity. But it's captivity nonetheless, and it leads to destruction. But Jesus came to rescue us from sin and death. On the cross, he took the punishment you and I deserve to face for our sin. As he hung there facing God's anger at our sins, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He died and rose again, so that we can have the sure and certain hope of life after death. Thanks to Jesus, death no longer has a sting. As Jim Packer, the late great theologian, once pointed out, if you are a Christian, then death is no longer your enemy. Death is your servant. All death can do for the Christian is serve them by bringing them to Christ. So Jesus' departure, his death on the cross, is a better Exodus, one that frees people from slavery to sin and defeats the enemy of death. It's amazing, but there's even more in this passage, because as well as providing a better rescue, Jesus also offers a brighter future. Now look down at verses 32 to 34 with me. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Now, these verses are meant to bring to mind Exodus chapter 40, when the tabernacle was completed. The tabernacle was the tent where God would dwell in the midst of his people and would later be replaced by the temple in 1 Kings. Let me read Exodus 40 to you. Exodus 40, verses 34 to 35. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, there are a few similarities between the two passages, Luke 9 and Exodus 40. Firstly, when Peter says shelters, let me put up three shelters, the word he uses is also the word translated as tabernacle. This event evidently made an impression on John, who was also there, because he would go on to say in that famous Christmas passage from his gospel, the word, Jesus, became flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. So you've got this tabernacle idea. And secondly, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle in Exodus 40, and glory is emanating from Jesus, whose clothes are like a lightning flash, and Moses and Elijah, who appear in glorious splendor. And thirdly, a cloud covers the tabernacle as the glory of the Lord fills it. And now as Peter speaks, a cloud appears and covers them as well. This tabernacle focus speaks to the wonderful truth that Jesus is the new, better tabernacle. How does God dwell with his people now? Well, he sent Jesus into the world to live amongst people, and Jesus makes his home in us as he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in everyone who believes. It is an extraordinary truth. God is not distant. He dwells within us. That you don't have to travel to be with God. There's no disconnect to overcome if you're a Christian. And all of this points forward to a better and brighter future where we will one day be with God forever. Revelation 21 is a glorious description of the new creation, where believers will live with God forever in a future free from tears. And in that chapter come two verses which tie directly into the dazzling brightness of Jesus' glory, his clothes that look like a flash of lightning, and the tabernacle. Let me read Revelation 21, verses 22 to 23 to you. The city, that's the New Jerusalem. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it its light, and the Lamb, that's Jesus, is its lamp. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. You see, one day we will see the glory of God and the glory of Christ displayed in such bright splendor that there will be no need for the sun to shine. One day, we will live with God so perfectly that there will be no use for tabernacles or tents or specially designed meeting places for God and man. We have a bright, bright future. C.S. Lewis once wrote a letter to a friend who had been taken into hospital sick and who was terrified of dying. So Lewis wrote her a letter, and in the letter he said, "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave it with regret? There are better things ahead than any we leave behind. There are better things ahead than any we leave behind. In an unexpected turn of events, the friend got better and lived for another 10, 15 years. But Lewis would die 6 months later. 6 months after writing this, he experienced the truth of those words. There are better things ahead than any we leave behind. And finally, we see that Jesus is a better voice to listen to. Back in Luke 9, let me read you verses 35 and 36. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. This is the second time in Luke's gospel that God has announced who Jesus is, his son, and how we should respond to him, listen to him. That is massively important when you consider who Jesus is there having a conversation with. Moses was the great leader of God's people for more than 40 years. He was the great lawbringer. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets Israel had had. They were both faithful servants worth listening to. But Jesus is more than a servant. He is the Son, and there is no one more worthy of your attention, no one more worth listening to than Jesus. In a world full of voices clamoring for our attention, experts offering advice from every angle, opinions freely shared on social media, we have a better voice to listen to. In the confusion that comes from the competing voices that we hear, the world might shout confusing messages about sex, security, happiness, hope, priorities, rights, values, truth, justice, the list goes on. But we have a better voice worth listening to, who speaks truth into every aspect of our Christian lives. We don't need to be confused. We need to listen to his better voice. Also, discipleship can be hard. Maybe you need reassuring and encouraging at the moment. Maybe you've lost sight of that better rescue that Jesus provides by dying on the cross and rising 3 days later. Well, take this as an opportunity to remind yourself and reflect on his death for you. Why not spend a couple of minutes after the service, before you join Zoom Coffee, just reflecting on the better rescue Jesus provides? Maybe you're disheartened because the cares of this life, the pressure of this life, the disappointment of COVID has caused the here and now to loom so large that you can't focus on our better future. Can I suggest you do two things if that's you? Number one, in our Zoom coffee breakout rooms, rather than just catching up, why don't you chat about this question? It should come up on the screen. What most excites you about our future forever with Jesus? What most excites you about our future forever with Jesus? Spend a bit of time chatting about that over Zoom coffee. And secondly, why don't you read Luke 9, 28 to 30 and Revelation 21 tomorrow morning as part of your quiet time, and focus on our future forever with Christ. Maybe you need encouraging to keep on living as a disciple because you feel the pressure to acquiesce to society's norms, to think like the world and put the word to one side. Well, remember that in Jesus, we have a better voice to listen to. And it's readily available to us as we pick up this book and read it. And make sure you are doing that for yourselves each and every morning. Make sure you are listening to that better voice. Why don't we pray? Father, thank you so much that Jesus provides a better rescue, that he offers a brighter future, and he is a better voice to listen to. Father, please would you help us to be people who rejoice in the rescue that Christ offers and the future he's provided for us. Would we be future-focused, gospel-centered people? And Father, please help us to be people who listen. Please help us to be a people who are committed to reading your word for ourselves and obeying your word, not just listening, but doing. And we ask this for your glory's sake. Amen.